Hello, here we are with another podcast from RRC Training. In the studio today is Dr. David Towson, as usual, Training Director at RRC, and today's guest, Hazel Harvey, the Professional Affairs Director of the Institution of Occupational Health and Safety. Morning, David.
Good morning, Toby.
And good morning, Ms. Harvey. I mean, there are so many grand-sounding titles about these days. What exactly does the Professional Affairs Director of IOSH actually do?
Right, it is a smart title, but really it covers anything relating to the regulation of the profession. So starting with educational accreditation, going through our initial development processes for members wanting to be chartered, code of ethics requirements, and of course, continuing professional development.
Oh, right, and I hope you get a commensurate salary for doing all that.
Well, unfortunately not.
Never mind. What aspect of your role are we covering today? Because we can't cover it all, obviously.
Continuing professional development today.
Right. David, haven't we covered this before? I mean, you're not going for overkill, are you?
Well, no. Continuing professional development, or CPD, is now required by all major professions. It's essential in this day and age, and importantly, it's a requirement of the Institution of Occupational Safety and Health for every member.
So you do it, do you?
I certainly do.
Well, do health and safety people really need to keep on learning? I mean, from all the media noise, you'd think they've already learnt too much.
Well, maybe the media could do with some CPD.
Touché.
Let's face it, nobody would trust a doctor's advice if he or she hadn't kept themselves up to date with the latest practices and knowledge in medicine. So why should it be any different for safety and health practitioners?
No point. Take fair enough. Yeah. Hazel, perhaps I should talk to the CPD organ grinder, not the monkey.
Watch it.
As David said, part of any professional person's working life is developing their knowledge, their skills and their experience. In reality, if you don't, you won't be able to perform to the standards expected of you. Like many other professional fields, health and safety is very fast changing, and new knowledge and processes need to be developed and shared by its practitioners.
Okay, I've talked to a lot of people in my job, and CPD comes up in conversation quite a lot, so let's start by addressing some of the most common objections to it. First, it takes up too much time.
It is a common perception, but in actual fact, it takes no time. CPD is part of a normal working environment. The outcome of activities in work actually are CPD, and the CPD scheme is purely and simply recording the outcome of these activities. And if you do it on a regular basis, it really doesn't take any time.
OK, fair enough. Well, here's another one. You have to go on lots of courses.
Again, this is a common misconception, and whilst there's no doubt that attending a course can kickstart somebody towards development of knowledge or skills, it's only one method of doing so. And in fact, most CPD can be obtained through normal workplace activities that occur on a regular basis. For instance, researching a topic and then putting it into practice and provide advice is definitely a CPD activity and needs to be recognised as such.
I mean, David here surely doesn't need to do any CPD. I mean, his experience to date has made him totally competent. Anyway, that's what I infer listening to him over a pint.
But of course, that would imply that nothing ever changed. No legislation is ever revised, new processes are developed, and particularly no knowledge is shared between professionals. So there's no new projects, equipment and all these sorts of things as they're introduced. So this isn't the case. So I expect David agrees.
Well, of course I do. And more to the point, he's never bought me a pint.
Yeah, well, all right, maybe after this. I mean, you have to accept that CPD costs a lot of money.
It can cost you as much or as little as you'd want it to. And that really depends on your circumstances with your employer. So many organisations do fund their employees to go on CPD training and they find it very useful. But the reality is not all our practitioners are as fortunate as that, and they have to find CPD where it's appropriate for them. So CPD can actually cost nothing, and it's the development of the knowledge, the skills and experience that constitutes CPD, and recognising what you get from undertaking activities that gives you CPD, not actually how you get there.
Well, rumour has it that CPD is not valued by employers.
Well, that's a rumour. Unlike most rumours, there's always some level of correctness in it. Most organisations do recognise that people require CPD. Some think that it just appears and grows on trees. But the reality is that you do have to do CPD whether your employer values it or not.
So I could just read a good book?
very good way of developing CPD. A good book develops your knowledge, and then from that you can develop your skills.
Yeah, well, okay.
So, yes, you can.
I mean, I've got to play devil's advocate here. So some people would say that CPD is just a pain and hard work to record.
Yes, they do, and frequently do to me. But it isn't really. It's quite a simple process, and we do have plenty of backup systems and can provide help if our members need it to record. We've developed a simple web-based recording process.
Ah, really? Well, I'll come back to that. I've still got a few more questions. You're not off the hook yet. Now, retired people wouldn't need any CPD, surely?
Really? It depends if you're still maintaining some work. And we do notice within the safety profession that, good safety professionals don't even fade away, let alone die. Hmm. So if they continue working, and many of them do on a voluntary basis...
Many of them are going to have to.
Well, not necessarily for actually funded work. They work on a voluntary basis.
What,
you mean
without pay?
They do. Our members are.
Something David wouldn't understand.
No.
But they do. But even if they do and they're offering advice to, say, charities or their churches or lots of things like that, they still need to be up to date because out-of-date advice isn't any use to them. So many retired members do maintain their CPD. Mm. But when they really do decide that they're going to hang up their hard hat, they basically can transfer to retired status.
Right, so they still need it, even if it's just simply, watch that slippy floor by the font. There's just been a christening.
Possibly.
So what happens if you're not based in the UK and can't get to courses?
It doesn't matter. CPD's undertaken in your workplace, so you don't really need to attend courses. And strictly speaking, we have lots of members who are outside the UK and they do actually have courses offered to them in their areas anyway.
Right. OK, well, let's try another scenario. I mean, let's say I'm on maternity leave or get really ill or find a particular circumstance that prevents me from doing CPD.
We have a scheme that is very open and you can take time off if you need it for personal circumstances. CPD is about part of real life and we allow you to actually make records of your own personal circumstances on your record. So if it needs to be taken into consideration, it is.
No, great. Well, that's the ifs and buts out of the way, but it all seems a bit, if I could put it, sort of self-centred. I mean, who else gets anything out of it?
Well, one would hope that lots of people get benefit from CPD because the safety professionals who give advice to both their employers, the public, clients and all sorts of people, and one would hope that their advice, actually up-to-date advice, will keep people safe. So the real issue on CPD and the list of benefits is that to become a chartered body, you have to have CPD to satisfy the Privy Council requirements.
I didn't know that.
Being chartered is something that we strive for because it's the accolade of a true profession. And to be part of that, we have to demonstrate that we're up to date with health and safety developments and in some ways lead the way. And if all individuals choose their activities correctly, it can usefully broaden their health and safety knowledge and the health and safety knowledge of the whole profession. People do need occasionally to reflect on their practice in health and safety. It can get stale in any profession.
Ask David, eh?
Terrible
giant. And if you actually reflect, you can recognise your own shortcomings, and that's what we encourage people do. And it also, one of the real advantages is CPD does encourage you to network with other professionals and learn from each other.
Networking, that's your excuse for those late nights, eh, David?
Certainly not. Evening workshops are often necessary in our business.
Going back, CPD is, even if your employer doesn't like it, should reassure them that you're getting current and relevant advice.
Back to those ugly rumours, eh?
Yeah. And also CPD shows you when you're in the process of looking for a new employer or a client that you are a committed professional. And it goes beyond the normal core activities. It goes into all sorts of areas to help develop and provide well-rounded practitioners and, ultimately, to have safe and healthy working places.
Well, as in?
Well, such as team leading, internal communications, understanding and analysing data and market research.
I was asking Hazel, David.
Handling staff. One of our constant statements, it's all very well known about health and safety if you don't bother to tell anybody. So handling staff, recruitment, training. Basically, your reflection on the advice that you give helps to develop both your own knowledge, skills and experience and the whole of the profession and the people that you serve.
Hmm. Well, I mean, one of the main concerns I hear, and this is ugly rumours again, about with CPD is that it requires recording to make sure it's carried out. I mean, this is what it is seen as burdensome and time-consuming. I mean, how does this work for IOSH?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that would be fair. Many people see CPD as the recording rather than the actual activities that they undertake to become keep themselves up to date. We've taken the view, and we've tried to make it as easy as we can for our IOSH members. And so IOSH CPD is actually recorded online via the My IOSH portal. All members have access to this, their own confidential online record, which is password protected, and they can put their own activities in there on a fairly regular basis if they choose to. And they all do it differently. Some do it more regularly than others, but they do it to suit their own personal circumstances.
I mean, I know these days most of us are on the web, but I mean, what about those fossils who don't have internet access?
Interesting one, that. Most of IOSH members do have access, even our older members. But if they don't, they can keep paper records and submit them on a quarterly basis. So we can enter them for them back in our office because we can obviously access the portals.
Sure.
But it's better to do it yourself because actually while you're reflecting, you're actually developing your CPD more. But, you know, internet's available as a public library and many of our branches and other member networks are there to assist and will help people if they don't have the means to gather and submit mountains of paperwork.
Right. So how does a member submit then?
Basically, you need to register on the IOSH portal, My IOSH, and you can do this through a link from the IOSH main website, which is www.iosh.co.uk, or directly to the portal, which is my.iosh.co.uk. Once you're there, there is a scheme laid out, and the first thing that most people do is enter a development plan. And this is a basic programme which actually indicates what you intend to do over the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. But and a simple commitment to CPD, but with a realistic view that not everybody will achieve what they first put down on that development plan. Right. Then it's basically about some more reflection about what you want to do, what you can do, and what you think you need to do.
Hmm. And the next stage?
Then you start to actually record some CPD from activities that you've undertaken. Here we've sort of split the scheme into three sections so that you can actually, when you reflect on your activity, you can actually decide how it's assisting you. Mm. So we have a section B, which is for maintaining competence in health and safety. Best will in the world, everybody's competence does fade if you don't do something for some time, and this section is particularly designed to do that. Section C is about developing competence, which most people think of as CPD, where you actually go off and learn something new. Mm-hmm. And then Section D is about developing the competencies beyond the technical health and safety skills so that you're actually developing competencies to communicate, deliver training and all the things that you also need to be able to do to be actually be a competent health and safety advisor.
Yeah. Can you give us an example of entering an activity? How would you do that?
Yeah. Relatively very simple. Firstly, you actually put a statement in to say what the activity is called, and then you actually end up with a blank screen that actually allows you to say what you like. So, and it can be relatively simple, but we do find that most members on reflection and actually as they get better at this do put slightly more in. But something can be a relatively simple statement, such as reading this article on working at height has given me some ideas about what I need to do to revise our company's policy on this issue. And then the reflection is, and in light of this, and with reference to the HSE's website contained in the article, I will be amending our policy to reflect that we will have all these various statements.
Right.
And you put all this down and record it. It really is a personal's own reflection on a statement, and it can be used in any way that you feel comfortable with. There's no specific format. It's one of the things that some folks find quite difficult as a starter.
So the responsibility is on you rather than a laid down set of A, B, C, D.
Yes, I mean, it's your development, so there's only you know what it is. Mm. But there can be all sorts of ways that you gain development. So when you talk to colleagues and other members, you actually get developments and start to reflect. And I often actually have people speak to me and to my staff who deal with this to actually say, well, can you tell me if this is correct? And then they give you a wonderful reflective statement, which is absolutely correct, and they haven't realised it is. No. So it's CPD's for you, although the outcomes will help and assist others, it is very personal.
Okay. Well, how does the individual determine the value of each CPD activity?
Well, we have a sort of a scoring scheme which allows you to allocate credits for your CPD activities. And the credits are sort of, you work out how many credits you give based on what you believe you've achieved from that activity that you've undertaken. It's sort of 2 points is a benchmark for a day's activity, but it does have a sort of a flexible sliding scale. So if something was really useful, you could give it 3, or you could give it 1 if you didn't think it was as useful, because activities do vary quite a lot.
Hazel, that seems pretty straightforward for discrete outcomes resulting, say, from a day's workshop or a seminar or something like that. But what about someone involved in something longer, like doing a master's degree?
Get asked this one quite a lot, and because the response is, how do you eat an elephant? And the response is, in small bites. And accordingly, for longer activities, you split it down into smaller sections. You don't actually do a master's degree. You do bits that relate and build up to a master's degree.
Courses,
yeah. Well, any part of it. Yeah. So it's really the activities that contribute to developing that whole programme that you record. So you could have any number of points from a programme like that. So there's lots of outcomes and lots of developments in there, so that they're recorded individually.
So who decides the value of the outcomes?
It's the individual, the practitioner, because everybody has different ways of allocating credits. Some people allocate a lot, some don't allocate as many. But everybody tends to be consistent in their own approach.
Yes.
And the real test of that would be if a member's CPD record was going to be audited by the CPD subcommittee. There, the judgment of the auditor will be to have a look to see how, if a person is a high scorer or a low scorer, and then look through the whole of the particular record. There's nothing right and there's nothing wrong. It's just individual choice on this one.
Well, individuals justifying it.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually the reflective statement that's the CPD, not the number of credits that you give it.
Well, sorry to interrupt. I mean, it's fascinating. I'm sure we could go on for a couple of hours yet, but I think that's all we've got time for. David, any summing up? Any further questions?
No, that's all pretty clear to me. Thanks very much, Hazel.
Well, I'm sure that will be very useful to all IASH members doing their CPD. Thank you, Hazel. And I'm going to let you have the last word. The benefits of IOSH CPD in a nutshell.
CPD allows health and safety practitioners to reflect on the knowledge that they have and the skills that they have developed and need to develop, and be fairly reassured that they're able to work in a competent and ethical manner. It's straightforward when you get used to it, it's relevant, and it can be easily incorporated into their everyday professional activities.
Well, thanks, Hazel, and of course, David, as usual. How are we going to record today's CPD? No, please, don't tell me. That bit about handling employees at work, is that allowed these days? I mean, you read about it in the papers all the time. Call Free Phone on 0800 756 9410 for more information on the whole range of RRC's fully accredited courses: health, safety, quality, acoustics and environmental, or to discuss a personal training plan with an RRC advisor. Alternatively, email info@rrc.co.uk or visit www.rrc.co.uk.